Welcome to the Tradeswomen Australia podcast series that promotes women in trades. Here you'll hear stories of success and ambition from some of the industry's most inspirational women.
Experience is something, but it's not everything. And companies are looked to tick a lot of boxes when they take someone on. And your attitude, your enthusiasm, your passion, those were the things that got me this job.
Today, we're jet-setting over to New Zealand to talk to Jen, an electrician who's working at a hydro dam. Jen is a wealth of knowledge and wisdom, and her story today is going to help you break into the industry and progress in your career.
My name's Jen McLean. I'm a generation technician electrical at the Clyde Dam in New Zealand. I work for Contact Energy. And I'm an electrician by trade, electrical fitter, and I am now sort of in a role where I do electrical work, but a lot of the work I do is around operating and high voltage switching and permitting. I started 17 years ago in Canada. I'm obviously Canadian. And yeah, still going.
A generation electrician. Can you explain a little bit more about what that is and how you can get into it?
Well, there's certain unit standards you do to become competent to work in power generation. So it's a pretty unique sort of industry. So here at Clyde, we have 4 generators that generate onto the national grid. And I basically look after all of the plant and asset here in the powerhouse that keep those generators going.
And what is a day in your shoes like?
Today, some of the stuff I'm working on is I'm making up some permits for some jobs that I have coming up next week. So obviously, before we work on anything electrically, we always want to make everything safe and make sure everything is turned off. So part of my job is to create the permits and to work out what all the safety isolations will be for anything that we do here at Dam. I will go do my operator round, so I'll walk around the site and I'll inspect because I'm the duty operator this week. Then we do that as a rotating roster. I do high voltage switching. I do fault finding. So I'm on call this week, which means if anything in the plant stops working, the control room will ring me. And I'll go out and start looking at, you know, why that's not working. I do projects. I work on projects and I manage little projects as well. And heaps of paperwork, lots of meetings. Today I'm going to close off some work orders. I'll write a procedure. And I have to go into town this afternoon and do an electrical refresher to keep my electrical registration up to date. Next Monday, I'm going to isolate a local service transformer and drain the oil out of the transformer and replace a bushing because we've got a leaking bushing. It's about 30 years old. So just huge variety, just so dynamic and always moving around doing lots of different things and in and out of overalls and tools and, yeah, great. No 2 days are the same and no 2 faults are ever the same. And even the maintenance, you know, what you pick up between from one outage to the next on the planned maintenance stuff, it's, you know, it all varies and yeah, it keeps it really interesting and there's never a dull moment.
It sounds like so much fun. How did you come about your career?
So I'm from Fort McMurray in Alberta in Canada, and that's a real mining town. It's an oil town. And when I was a teenager, Fort McMurray was a real boom town and there was a lot of opportunity up there for young people to get a trade, and I wanted to be a writer. When I was a teenager, I thought I'm going to go to university and do some sort of degree that allows me to write technical documents. I wanted to like write textbooks and stuff, which was bizarre, but I didn't want to get a student loan. So being from Fort McMurray, I thought, oh, there's plenty of opportunity for me to go get a trade and then I can pay my own way through uni and I won't ever have to get a student loan and blah, blah, blah. So I just got into one of the local like co-op programs and applied and got in and didn't even know what what I would pick, I thought, oh, electrical might be interesting because I'd really love to be able to understand like electrical drawing and the infrastructure behind like operating plants. And of course up there it's an oil sands mine, and I don't know, it all just appealed to me, and I loved just being a small part of a really big picture. So yeah, I just jumped in and applied for this electrical apprenticeship, and I got it, and the money was amazing. That was sort of what got me. But of course I knew that I would gain a lot along the way. And my dad has always said, like when I was growing up, he was always saying, oh, if you've got a trade in your back pocket, you know, you got that ticket in your back pocket, no one can ever take it off you, and you've always got that to fall back on. And yeah, it was just sort of like, oh, this is a good idea, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it right now.
That's so cool. And do you think you'll ever go to uni to study writing?
No, I won't. And I actually do a lot of technical writing on a daily basis in a way that serves me and the business, and it's really useful. And yeah, so I find I'm sort of fulfilling that little passion of mine in a really practical, applicable way on a daily basis. So yeah, it's worked out really well. Obviously, I trained in Canada and I'm going on about that, but I moved here 15 years ago now, I think, and got into the hydro industry right away, and have sort of been doing that most of my career since. So I'll actually tell you a story. When I was an apprentice and I was a contractor working on a site at a dam down south from here, there was this dude that would maintain all the generators in an electrical capacity. He was an electrician like me, and you know, he was sort of charged with looking after the machine, looking after the asset, and doing all that routine maintenance. And I know some people think that's boring, but I think it's a really great privilege. And so anyway, I was there building panels and doing this install for an upgrade on the automation. And this older fella, I thought, oh, I really want that job when I grow up. I was probably, I don't know, 21 at the time or something. And I'm like, oh, I really, you know, that's what I want to get to. I want to maintain these assets and sort of look after them. Well, it was like 10 years later, and a job came up at Contact, and I was living in Alexandria, where I live now. And my husband said, you should apply for that job. And it was for the generation technician. It was this guy who was retiring. And I was like, oh, that's like actually my dream job, but I'll never get it because, you know, they sort of, that's like I don't have a better way to put it, like an old man's job. You know, that's where really experienced older fellas go. And I just had never seen anyone that looked like me doing that job before. And my husband said, you need to apply for it because even if you don't get it, it's really good experience doing those sorts of interviews. So I said, okay. And I was perfectly happy in the job I was in. This was a couple of years ago, and I was working on the distribution side of things for a local utilities company, and I was really, really happy. But my husband said, look, these jobs don't come up very often. You need to apply for it. You think about how badly you wish that you could do that. And so I did, and I got an interview, and there were 63 applicants, and I actually got the job. So I now have my dream job.
Oh, my God, what a fabulous story. That is so amazing that you went out there, you saw that guy, it was your dream job, and you've got it. You've done it. That's amazing.
Yeah, funny, eh? And I was when I went for the interview, I was a contractor, but I was working in these dams. And on the day that I had my interview, for some reason, I didn't have my own overalls. They were all dirty or in the wash or something. And I came in and I went into the men's change room and found the first pair of overalls that I thought would fit me because I'm quite small. And the ones that I grabbed and put on were Quinny's overalls, and this was the guy whose job that I wanted and was going for. So I like went to the interview wearing his overalls, and we actually have the same last name. And I just felt like, right, I'm going to embody Quinny. So, I mean, there's been some pretty immense challenges along the way, but all in all, I do feel pretty grateful on a daily basis. And you know, I love walking in the powerhouse and flicking on the lights first thing in the morning and being like, ah, you know, this is where I was meant to be.
Wow. And at the time, you didn't feel like you had enough experience or qualifications to get the job. How do you feel about that now?
So that sort of, my mentality shifted a little bit when I had my interview. And there were three men that interviewed me. And I'd known these men for a long, long time because I was in and out of the place as a contractor for so long. And Grant was the guy who interviewed me. And he said, look, we've got lots of applicants for this role. And he said, but what we like about you is that you are young. You are not set in your ways. You're not going to be complacent. We don't have to untrain you before we train you, if that makes sense. And I suppose there was a lot of truth in that. And, you know, he goes, I know you live in the region. You're going to be here for a long time. I know you have a big mortgage and you've got a young family. And it was sort of like, experience is something, but it's not everything. And companies are looking to tick a lot of boxes when they take someone on. And your attitude, your enthusiasm, your passion, those were the things that got me this job. You know, my desire to sort of have a long-term plan to be here and care for these machines, that spoke to these guys. And one of the guys who interviewed me is now my sort of supervisor, my line manager. And I was speaking to him yesterday, and he said to me, I remember when I interviewed you and, you know, you had all that passion for learning the plants. And I was like, God, I forgot about that. But he remembered. So obviously that, you know, that helped me.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because people listening who are pursuing an apprenticeship or stepping off the tools into a management position are probably feeling like they don't quite have the experience. But experience isn't the key factor to getting that job or that career progression, and there are other things that contribute.
And like, I don't know, you hear all these conversations now, or I sometimes make the mistake of reading the comments. And there's so many trolls out there. And, you know, when I read a news article via my social media, I think, God, I need to stop doing this, because I get sucked into reading the comments. And you get all these really daft people with this very shallow view of things. And I don't know, I've been doing this for a long time now, and I've been up against the challenges for a long time, and all those challenges are still there about, you know, diversity and unconscious bias and gender discrimination and stuff. And people sort of love to give this argument that, oh, the person who's best qualified for the job should get the job, thinking that, oh, that must be the person with the most years of experience, or that must be the person who fits the mold, or, do you know what I mean? And we're wired to want to get people in that are like us. And I know that they say that hiring for culture fit. You want to hire someone that's going to fit in with the team. But companies now, successful companies and big companies like the one that I work for, really are learning and see the proof that the value is in diversity and in getting teams where people have different perspectives and people come from different backgrounds and people look different and people think differently from each other, and then focusing and putting emphasis on learning how to work harmoniously and to value each other for our strengths and all our differences and stuff. So I just think, oh, you can't just brush it off as, oh, they're hiring women to, you know, to tick boxes, and they should just hire the person that's most suitable for the job, because, I don't know, that might scare women from applying for things, because they'll go, oh, well, I'm not most suitable because I don't have the most experience. But there's so many more factors than that that companies are looking for now. And diversity is one of those factors, because there's value in diversity, and that turns into, you know, profit for the company.
What words of advice do you have for those who are currently applying for electrical apprenticeships or looking to upskill and step into a management position?
I just want to say, go for things you're not totally qualified for if that's where your passion is. And one thing that I really say a lot, because I go speak to girls at schools in my community, and I host Girls with High Vis events here at the Dam, and one massive thing I focus on is don't let other people's perception of your strength define your choices. And I see in high schools a lot where there's careers advisors and stuff, we're still a little bit, you know, gender stereotyping people or saying, oh, they're so clever, they need to go to university. But actually, clever people need to be doing apprenticeships as well. And you can go a long way on an apprenticeship just as well as you can go a long way on a degree. And you don't have to have that student loan, and you don't have to have that 4 years of intense study when you could be having 4 years of intense making money and having hands-on experience that's, you know, really useful. I know as teachers in schools and the careers advisors, they go, oh, I think I know what's best for this person. And I had that when I was at school, and it's, you sort of have to go, well, it's actually my future, and I know what I want to do, and I know that I want to make a lot of money, and I want to be able to buy nice things, and I want to be able to support myself, and so I would like to do this.
And who have you drawn inspiration from, or who have been your heroes, or who drives you every day to do what you do?
I suppose that's sort of changed as, you know, I've moved from job to job or place to place. I did have 5 years off to have two little boys as well, by the way, you know, so I'm a working mum, and my children are now 8 and just about 5. So, you know, a lot of my motivation comes from my kids on a different front. I find a lot of support and encouragement in the Instagram community. So I just find Instagram such a hugely positive, encouraging place to be, and it feels like a real safety for me. There's a whole lot of tradeswomen out there who are being connected through social media, and we're creating our own little network. And it's not about, you know, creating a girls club and not having men. It's just about knowing that I'm not the only one. For me, that whole, you know, girls in high viz on Instagram world has just been amazing. And like what you guys do on Instagram, it's just like, oh, gives me peace in my heart to see that. It's the progress. So that's been good. There's a book by an Australian woman called, I think her name's Tegan, and the book is called BCW, Blue Collared Women. I think that's what it's called, the BCW. Anyway, amazing, really amazing book, and she's on Instagram as well. I haven't met her or anything, and I know Australia has all these awesome events all the time that promote women in trades and provide networking opportunities. And I think, oh, if I wasn't over the ditch. But there's another girl that works in Australia, Southern Australia somewhere. She's basically my doppelganger. She's like me, but in another country. And she does the same role as me in a hydropower station. And there's something really cool about that. And I love watching her journey and what she's working on and, you know, just that sense of community.
There is some pretty cool tradie ladies on Instagram, I have to agree. In relation to your career, you've talked a lot about all the positives, but what have been some of the unexpected benefits that have come out of pursuing a career in electrical?
Unexpected benefits. As I have become a mum and got back into the workforce, because I did have quite a few years off, I'm finding now that it's so nice to be able to support my community, support my son's school and my other child's kindergarten, and, you know, my husband's on the toy library, and we are able to help out in ways that are sort of above and beyond because of my technical ability. And nothing's ever a problem. You know, we go in and do all sorts of technical jobs that they would have to pay tradespeople to do. And, you know, we're helping do our bit in our school communities and our children's communities with the skills we have from our job. And that is amazing. And I'm sure a lot of you ladies from Tradeswomen Australia will be able to identify with that.
Jen, we're going to have to wrap up our conversation here as we get to the end of the show. Is there any final words of wisdom that you would like to leave us with?
Be true to yourself. Recognize when you're having a bit of a struggle and ask for help. One thing I still learn sort of every day is there is no such thing as a stupid question. and ask all the questions. Yeah, that's massive, actually. Don't ever stop asking questions. And even when you think, you know, you're coming into a sort of comfort zone and you think, oh, I've got a really good grip on everything I'm working on right now, or, you know, in a technical capacity, you think, oh, I understand all this. You never understand all of it. And as long as you constantly stay sharp and be open to other people's ideas or open to information, you're just going to thrive. And another thing is, don't stay in that comfort zone for too long. The only way we keep growing is to keep jumping out of that comfort zone and into something else. So, yeah, definitely keep yourself uncomfortable. There's so much value in being uncomfortable.
Jen, thank you so much for coming on the show today, and thank you for dialing in from New Zealand. We really appreciate it, and it's been fantastic hearing all about the hydro industry. How can listeners get in touch with you?
Thanks for listening to my story. If you'd like to get in touch with me, feel free to contact Tradeswomen Australia, and they will give you my details.
Thanks again, Jen, and thank you to our listeners. Thanks for being so faithful and tuning in every week. Stick around for our show notes. Thank you for tuning into today's show in partnership with the Federal Department of Education and Training, Real Skills for Real Careers. You can find out more about pursuing an apprenticeship and beginning your lady tradie career on our website at www.tradeswomenaustralia.com.au or on the myskills.gov.au website. If you enjoyed our show today, please leave us a 5-star rating and spread the word to encourage more women into trades. Thanks again, and catch you next week.